I want to speak this morning on the subject, preparing for battle. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we have come out from the world to assemble here. And yet as we assemble here, we are aware that our enemy is among us. He is here. And from this moment on, in this service, he will do all that he can to distract us from this word. He will use those who walk about. He will use those who will laugh and talk amongst themselves. So, Father, give us an awareness of where we are and a respect for what we do. And, Father, help us to concentrate with our minds and with our hearts and not allow ourselves to become distracted this morning from this word. So focus us and give us attention to you and to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The ancient Spartans were warriors that were bred to fight. When a male was born amongst the Spartan people, the parents would take that child, that male child, to the council of the elders. And the elders would examine this child. And if they deem the child to be weak or to be defective, that infant boy was taken up to a mountain and he was left. He was left to die. But if they deem the boy to be strong and healthy, they allowed the parents to take the child, the boy, back home and raise him until his 7th birthday. And on his 7th birthday, his parents would then take him to what was called the Agora. And for the next 13 years, that boy would be diligently trained in the art of warfare. And at the age of 20, that young man would become a part of the Spartan army. And he would serve in the army until the age of 60, when he was allowed then to retire. But even after he retired, he was kept as a reserve in case of war times. The ancient Greek city of Sparta was the only city in all of Greece that did not have a wall of protection or defense around it. The Spartans declared, "Our army is our defense." Are you listening? Brethren, Spartans were warriors who were bred to fight. Now the transition. Christians are warriors who are bred to fight. And this is why over and over again in the New Testament we read this military language that is directed toward both what we are and what we do. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul said, we are to fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 3, Paul says we are to endure suffering as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 11, Peter says to avoid fleshly lust, which wars against the soul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 4, Paul says that the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but they are divine in power. Over and over again, we find this military language that describes who we are, it describes what we are, and it describes what we are supposed to do. Brethren, Christians are warriors that have been bred to fight. Now, I want to ask you this morning to turn with me to the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, as we prepare ourselves for the battle. Meet with me at verse 10. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Now I want you, brethren, to look at that verse carefully, please. And let me note two things by way of introducing this that's going to come from this verse. Notice, first of all, who this is addressed to. It is written to those who are in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. This is addressed to those who are in the Lord. In the Lord was Paul's expression for describing Christians. If you doubt this, go back to the very first verse of this letter. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. It is addressed to saints. It is addressed to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is written to those who are in the Lord. This is written to Christians. This is written to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is written to saints. What I need to understand is that this passage, are you listening? This passage is written to me. And if you are a faithful Christian, this passage is written to you. Now, as I go through this passage, and as I learn what I need to know about preparing for battle, I need to keep in my mind that this was written to me. Look at that verse carefully, please. Notice, secondly, by way of introduction, not only who it was written to, but notice now what it says. Look at what it says. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. There is within me a power. There is within me a strength. There is within me a force that is based on my relationship to Jesus. Because I am in the Lord. Because I am faithful in Christ Jesus. Because I am a saint. Because I am a Christian. There is a strength in me that is based on my relationship to Jesus Christ. Now look at that verse. Two words. The word strong and the word strength. Those two words in that verse are expressing the power and describing the power that is in me as a Christian. This was written to me. What it says is this: the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is writing to me. He's writing to you if you are a faithful Christian. And he is saying that Jesus' strength is in you, and Jesus' strength is in you, so that you will be ready to fight the battle that is about to be described. Now, look at me. Look at me. Listen carefully. Your ability, your God-given talent is not what gives you the ability to survive spiritually. Your goodness and your morality is not what gives you the ability to survive spiritually. How much Bible you can quote is not what gives you the ability to survive spiritually. What gives you the ability to survive spiritually is because of the relationship you have in Jesus, because it is that relationship in which Jesus strengthens me for this battle. Period. We together? Now, follow me carefully. Distractions are all over, but follow me carefully. in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, Paul says two things. Number one, he talks about the enemy that we're going to fight, that we fight. The enemy that we fight. The second thing he talks about here is the weaponry and the armor which comes from God that we must adorn ourselves and use in this battle. Now this morning, in preparing for this battle, we are only going to address the first part of this, the enemy that we fight. Lord willing, next Lord's Day morning, we will look at this canopy or this armor that God supplies us for the battle. So now, I want us to spend our time addressing the enemy that we fight in this battle. Now, look at your Bible and focus. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, who are you standing against? The devil. Look at verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Against what? Against the evil forces. The evil spiritual forces. Drop down to verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. Of who? The evil one. So the enemy is the devil. The enemy are the spiritual forces of evil. The enemy is the evil one. Brethren, the enemy that we fight, the enemy that we fight is the devil. The devil is the enemy. The devil is the enemy. You say we know that. We don't near know that. Now, just remain calm. If I am a member of the Democratic Party, the Republican Party is not the enemy. If I am a member of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party is not the enemy. If I am a libertarian or an independent, the current president or the current administration is not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. If I hold to certain religious convictions and there are others who do not hold to my religious convictions, they are not the enemy. If I hold to certain moral standards and there are others who do not hold to my moral standards, they are not the enemy. Now, these folks may yield themselves to the enemy, and I may not disagree with their morals, and I don't. And I may not agree with their principles, and I don't. But they are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. And if I don't remember that, then I can become a victim of the enemy myself. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul talks about some brothers, members of the church, Christians, who are walking disorderly. They're out of step. They are disorderly. Paul says in verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says to warn them, Paul says, listen to me, Paul says to admonish them as your brothers and not as your enemies. You are not my enemy. I don't fight you. I fight the devil. And if I remember that, if I will remember that, that will help to keep my heart the way that my heart ought to be. You say, but look, as Christians, we have to stand for what's right, and we do. You say, we gotta stand for what's right, and we do. But brethren, we must stand for what is right, rightly. The enemy is the devil. You're not the enemy. These folks run around here with absolutely no sense of spiritual awareness. They're not the enemy. Now watch carefully. Chapter 6, watch carefully. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now your translation may say the wiles of the devil. Let me give you another word. The strategies of the devil. But I want you in your Bible, whatever your translation says, I want you to put your eyes on that word. Schemes, wiles. That word is a very, very specific word. And that very specific word is only used one other time in all of the New Testament. And it's used again in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. So I want you to turn back and let's look at the only other place that word appears and how it appears. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. So that you may no longer be children. tossed to and fro by waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Now look what is involved in that verse. Different doctrines. Human cunningness. Deceit. Now what's going on? Brother, look at me. Here's what's going on, and you need to live with this. The devil has a certain way of thinking. And he wants you and I to think the way he does. The devil wants his religion to become my religion. The devil wants his morals to become my morals. The devil wants his conviction and ways to become my conviction and my ways, and I need to live with the awareness of what he's trying to do, but mainly I need to live with an awareness that the enemy I'm fighting in this battle, the enemy is the devil. Now, I want you to take a good deep breath here. Together. Now refocus. Refocus. And understand that the devil is not alone in this battle. He is not working alone to get you and me. Now, you ready? Okay. Some of you need to fasten the seatbelt just where you're at. Look at chapter 6 now, just beginning with verse 12. Now look at it. For we do not wrestle, stop and give pause. We do not wrestle. You know, that's a strange word to put there. Because the contextual flow of the passage doesn't have anything to do with a wrestling match. And the contextual flow of the passage, in fact, it doesn't have anything to do with any sport. So Paul is using the word wrestle here in order to describe the battle that you and I are in against the devil, in which the Lord is giving us the strength to fight. You say, well, wrestle, that don't sound bad. You need to understand two things about wrestle. First, in a Greek wrestling match, which in the city of Ephesus, Paul would be talking about, in a Greek wrestling match, the loser had his eyes gouged out of his head. How hard would you fight to win that? How intense would you get if you were in a battle where if you lost it, they're going to pluck your eyes out of your head. But notice the word wrestle there. The word wrestle is a word that describes hand-to-hand combat. This is my sweat on you and your sweat on me and my blood on you and your blood on me. This is hand-to-hand combat. This is me in your face. This is you in my face. We are standing it down and facing this up. That's the battle. That word is used to describe the battle. Now watch verse 12 carefully. I'm getting there, but I'm getting there easy. For we do not wrestle, note, against flesh and blood. Now let's pause again. Our battle in which we as saints are engaged in against the devil, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Is that what that says? It's not flesh and blood. Now, flesh and blood is what is human. Anything that's got flesh and blood is in some form human. So if it's not flesh and blood that I'm battling against, then I'm not battling against what is human. Does that make sense? Now listen to me. If it's not human that I'm battling against, then it has to be spirit. I have nothing else to choose from. But he makes that clear. Now look carefully at verse 12, and we're finally here. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but, here it is, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Now he sums it up, here it is, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, you mean there are a host of spirit beings? Yeah. You mean that there is a host of evil spirit beings? Yeah. Paul says that this host of spiritual evil beings are operating in the realm of what he calls the heavenlies. What is he talking about? He's talking about demons. Demons. Now, before you get up and leave, please give me one chance here. Just a chance. Now, what do we know about this? Now, here's what we know. In Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 24, the Bible says that Satan, the devil, is Beelzebub. The verse also tells us who Beelzebub is. Beelzebub is the ruler of the demons. So the devil is Beelzebub, and Beelzebub is the ruler of the demons. So the devil is the ruler of the demons. You still with me? Now watch. The best we put this together is that in some time, eternity past, there was a rebellion which took place in heaven, in which the devil, who he was not the devil then, but when he was cast out became the devil, in whom the devil led this rebellion and was thrown out. Now, there are only two verses that talk about it. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, and Jude verse 6. Both of them talk about it. Now, here's what we know. It is reasonable from what they say, those two verses, it is reasonable to assume that the devil not only instigated this rebellion, but the devil led in this rebellion. In Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 41, Jesus says that hell, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, Jesus says that hell was initially prepared for the devil and his messengers. That's what angel means in the verse. Hell was originally prepared for Beelzebub, the devil, the leader of the demons, and his messengers. Now here it is, all put together. If you are a faithful Christian, me, listen. We are in hand-to-hand combat. We are engaged in battle. We are engaged in this battle by demons whom Satan is sending forth to craft circumstances to lead us into temptation that will take us away from God. Brethren, that's how temptation works. Temptation works as the devil, Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons, sends forth these demons in crafting circumstances to get me to walk away from Christ. Now I'm moving to close, but I want you to hold on to this statement. Very, very seldom in the Bible does Satan ever come out in the open himself. The demons are sent to do his bidding. In fact, in all the Bible, you say, well, I heard, I don't know what you heard, I'm just talking about in there. In all the Bible, Satan only steps out in the open himself, face to face with something, three times. He makes three appearances himself. And in the last lesson of this series, first Sunday in May, May 1st, we're going to look at those three appearances. But I want to close with this as we are preparing for battle, and next Sunday we'll take up and deal with the armor and the weaponry. But I want you to understand this. Focus on me. I want you to understand this. On this side, there is the devil. Are you listening? I'm trying to help here. On this side is the devil. And the devil has an army. And the devil and his armies are against me. Then, on this side, there is Jesus. Jesus also has an army. His is not an army of demons. His is an army of angels. Write it down. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22 says that the angels are subject to Jesus Christ. He has rule, Jesus has rule over the angels of heaven. Write it down. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 says that the angels are sent forth in order to minister or in order to serve those who are going to obtain salvation. If angels are being sent forth to help me, and if Jesus is in charge of the angels, then who is sending the angels to help me? Well, if 1 + 1 = 2, I know what the answer to that is. Jesus is. So here is the devil, and here is his army, and here they are after me, and over here is Jesus, and over here are the angels, and he's for me. And so this battle is raging. This battle is raging. This hand-to-hand combat is raging. And guess who the prize that both of them want is? You and me. And guess who decides who wins that battle? You do. You do. You do. Aren't you happy when the devil's mad? Because he is here and he is just sideways right now. And if I die this afternoon, everybody know why. Listen to me. You're the prize. And I'm the prize. But in preparing for this battle, you need to know the enemy is the devil. It's not the folks who disagree with you. The enemy is the devil. And the devil has an army of little empty demons who want up in your face and up in your business to take you away from God. Now, you just write that down in preparing for the battle. I know who the enemy is. And Lord willing, next Lord's Day morning, we're going to come in here and we're going to pass out the weapon. Now, they're not six shooters, but we're going to pass out the weapon. This morning, if you're here and if you're not a Christian, the devil's got you. He's got you. And you need to break loose from that. And you're the one who decides it. If you've never been baptized into Christ, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's all the proof you need. And if you're here this morning as a Christian, and you've listened to the devil, and you walking with the devil, and you thinking like the devil, you need to get away from that. The devil is not your friend. He's your enemy. And you need to prepare for battle. This morning, if you're here, if you're subject to the invitation in any way, may God give you the grace and the strength to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.